Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I always believe in the power of intention and prayer, and if you could please pray for Emily, a friend of mine here in Seattle. I know that your beautiful love, light, and positive energy will really help her. Denise Barlett is also one of the sponsors of this program, and she's a wonderful person who offers hotter water healing and life coaching sessions in the Portland, Oregon area. She creates customized water healing products with structured water. She also has water workshops, and her website is www.hihado.com. That's H-I-G-H-H-A-D-O.com. She's a certified Hado instructor from the Emoto office in Tokyo, and I urge you to contact her if you'd like to try one of her wonderful Hado healing products. She can be reached at 425-306-6316, or her email is Denise, spelled D as in David, E, N as in Nancy, I, S, E, dot Barrett, B as in boy, A-R-R-E-T-T at HiHado.com. I'd also like to thank Puget Sound Computer Repair in Olympia, Washington, for their wonderful support of my program. They do excellent work. I've taken my computer there myself, and the prices are very reasonable. If you need any help with your computer, please call them at 360-412-1909 or email them at Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at PugetSoundComputerRepair.net. And with that, I'd like to welcome James Redfield to my show. James, how are you doing today?
Doing well, thanks. Glad to be on.
I'm so happy you could come on. You know, your book, Celestine Prophecy, helped change my life back in the 90s when it came out. And I know I've talked to so many friends of mine, and you've had the same effect on people of waking people up to other dimensions and a higher purpose in life. Have you had the same comments too, James, and from your work you've heard from people?
Yeah, you know, there's always the question, why was that book so popular? And I was attempting with the Celestine Prophecy to kind of create a roadmap of the steps into a real shift in consciousness. And I was arguing, really, that this has already happened. It's already happening on the planet. A lot of people say, well, oh, my goodness, look what's happened. You know, a lot of negativity out there.
Right.
But there are two sides to that equation. There's a lot of negativity out there, but there's also a lot of consciousness growing out there.
Sure.
And so I'm a real proponent that, you know, this is a new time in the world. We are moving into a more conscious way of life everywhere. You know, people are meditating in huge numbers, larger than ever before. So there's a lot of, in spite of the what we say on the news, mm-hmm. there's a lot of really good people moving forward in consciousness and helping shift the world. And, you know, politics ebbs and flows. You know, what's really important is where we are in terms of the overall consciousness.
Well, you really hit a nerve when you published your book, because your book went on to be the best-selling American book in the world for 2 years, published in over 35 countries. And it's well known today as well. I mean, people mention your name, mention your book, and they say, oh, yeah, I read that book. They read their book. And they read your other books, too, and as have I, too. So,
what I think happened is that, you know, when I got that book out, I was really, what I was seeking to do is describe a consciousness, again, that I was already building out there.
Right.
But also to try to crystallize, you know, 100 years of the human potential movement in psychology and the professions of helping out there. You know, there was a big shift at that time, and we were really becoming aware of just what it takes to move into consciousness. And I believe we were becoming aware of consciousness itself as an issue, and that was a big step. And what I think the book did was put into words what so many people already felt was happening in their lives.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I know in the Celestine Prophecy, you talk a lot about synchronicities and following your intuition. And that's how I started my my radio show, actually. I was approached by two angels, one a homeless person, in two different places in two libraries, and they both came up and addressed me by my name, and I didn't know them before, and they said, Ted, you need to write books and start your own radio show. And when that happened twice, I knew I was getting a message from the other side to start what I'm doing now. But I think when, if you can follow your intuition and your heart mind, you'll never go wrong.
Well, that's exactly right. I think that was one of the basic discoveries out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a huge foundation for that kind of approach to life. Mm-hmm. But something also unusual is happening right now, which is why I'm sort of out in front. Mm-hmm. Of the Celestine Prophecy once more.
Mm-hmm.
There are two big, huge generations coming online in terms of the public consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And these two generations are starting to, again, to give each other the Celestine Prophecy, which means they're tuning in also to consciousness, which was great to see and hear. So we're out on a re-release of the Celestine Prophecy. I've written a lengthy afterword, sort of as a guide to these two huge generations, millennials and their children.
Right.
But it's really a pleasure to see the book being passed around in greater numbers again. And I think, again, if the book is symbolic or representative maybe of consciousness out there in the world, it's a really good thing to see.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I have your books here with me in the studio, and I read them years ago, and I had to read them again for the interview today. But I'd like to jump to The Secret of Shambhala, to page 51, where you write, you're interviewing this Lama. It's very interesting what you write. The mission of your generation, you write, the Lama, which you quoted this Lama, is very different in its nature from that of the World War II generation. They had to fight a particular tyranny with violence and arms, and you must fight against the concepts of war and enemies altogether. But it takes much more heroism. There was no way your parents could have done what you did, but you persevered, so much you. But they persevered, and so must you. The forces of totalitarianism have not gone away. They're just not expressing themselves any longer through nations seeking empire. The forces of tyranny now are much more international and subtle, taking advantage of our dependence upon technology and a desire for convenience and credit. Out of fear, they seek to centralize all technological growth into the hands of a few so that their economic positions can be safeguarded in the future evolution of the world controlled. I thought that was really outstanding.
Well, and it was kind of pathetic in a way.
Sure.
Because that's exactly what has become more apparent out there.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have a very entrenched sort of materialistic, group, and it's really international corporate power.
Right.
But it's, you know, it's getting more and more secular and more materialistic and seeks to convince everyone that there is no spiritual reality.
Right.
And, you know, this situation has been prophesized in many, many places and scriptures around the world through history.
Right.
So, you know, we're just seeing that occur now. And I think that what I would advise your listeners about that is to not to fall into hate yourself about this situation, because you know there's a lot of evil out there too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just noise. You know, it's not the greater population. Most people are loving and good, want the best for their families and their other people's families.
Sure.
You know, it's just this materialistic group that, suffer from a kind of disconnection from their own spiritual consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And power is what they seek as a remedy for that. You know, it's obvious what's going on. But we can't hate that. We can't go crazy screaming at the television every night. I mean, you get
sure.
That just makes that side larger. You're
right.
Just joining in that side.
Right.
And so one of my messages right now is that we have to have faith in consciousness. We also, we know now, and I think more than ever before, that the consciousness is love-based. You know, there's a kind of heart opening that happens in consciousness, and that's what we have to concentrate on and spread that and seek to, to show that to our children and to younger generations, so that what happens is that we replace that darkness with greater light. And actually, I think that's exactly what's happened.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, James. I want to jump to page 169 in your excellent book, The Secret of Shambhala, where you write, many times during the hidden history of mankind, humans have developed spiritually to the point and then lost their way and fallen back into ignorance. They began to misuse their technology, disrupting the natural course of evolution. For instance, right now in the outer cultures, some people are taking the natural processes of food and distorting it by genetically manipulating seeds to have unusual characteristics. The same thing's happening in the pharmaceutical industry, where a known herbal remedy free to all is genetically altered in order to sell it. The same is true of irradiated foods, chlorine, and other additives to the water supply, not to mention so-called designer drugs. Very, very profound and as very, very thought-provoking passages. In your you came with your Celestine Prophecy, James, a series of insights. And if I may, I'd like to quote your second insight, which is, this awakening of the second insight represents the creation of a new and more complete worldview, which replaces a 500-year-old preoccupation with secular survival and conflict. And I thought about that when you just mentioned that a minute ago, about the emphasis upon materialism and not spiritual matters.
Well, you know, it was easy to see that occurring back then. It was already well underway. And, you know, the secret, I think, is as I said, is create this consciousness and that is conscious of itself. In other words, consciousness replaces and reforms and replaces and resolves conflict because it's heart-based.
Right.
And the more of us that can be in that, we have to be conscious of the fact that the more of us together in that amplifies that way of existing as an alternative to all this collective manipulation for money, but also mainly for power, because out of power is a sort of temporary feeling that you finally have your inner security. But we know where that comes from is in reality opening up to a conscious connection with one's own spiritual higher intelligence. So, the good thing is that we understand completely. I mentioned the human potential movement, all those discoveries that, mm-hmm. that have happened over the 100 years. We understand how to break through mm-hmm. because it's a matter of intention, as you pointed out already. Mm-hmm. It's also a matter of seeking a heart opening that is your true power. It's your true influence in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Love, hypocrites everywhere sort of sold the power of love, and people underestimate it. But, I'm talking wide open about this. You know, mm-hmm. you can think love is weak or soft or not determined enough or whatever you might think, whatever reaction, we have to this, the idea of love, the actual experience of love is an emotion, a constant emotion within you.
Mm-hmm.
What that does is creates a solid connection, a solid force, mm-hmm. and an unbelievably higher intention. So we understand that now. So mm-hmm. I think that the one thing we're doing on the tour is we're we're sort of living out the way those breakthroughs feel, in together in a group. And so it's a kind of workshop, but it's also a kind of a series of openings that I think more and more of us are ready to jump through, because what happens is we become, as you say, intuitively led to where we're supposed to be to tell our greatest truth. And, the Celestine Prophecy was about finding a destiny within yourself, the sense of destiny and the sense of inspiration,
right. And
move into a place where you can be most influential from a heart-open point of view, not condemning, but to, challenge and support whistleblowers and challenge things that are not operating in a way that's open and love-based and democratic at all levels. And it's just an amazing time in my view. We're ready to jump into this growth spurt, and there are two new generations that want it to happen.
Right.
And they are at the beginning of their creativity in life. Millennials, I'm talking about, who are pitching 38. and astrologically, that's a huge conjunction that you reach of creativity around 38 to 42. So they're ready to step into creativity.
Wow.
And it's up to everybody else to really talk out loud about the power of consciousness in terms of how we can transform the world.
Well, I have to share this story with you, James, and I'll lead it back to what you just said. I used to live in India years ago, and there I became familiar with the works of the Dalai Lama, especially his view of the Chinese and what they've done to Tibet, and many horrible things, of course, to the Tibetans and Tibet, the country of Tibet. But he had nothing but compassion for the Chinese in spite of what they've done, and compassion and love. And that's the sort of thing you were just talking about a minute ago, wasn't it, of not stooping down to the level of a lower level with people you disagree with, but rather treating them with love and compassion?
Yes, and it's an energy level.
Mm-hmm.
We're designed, in my view, to pop into a higher consciousness. Our brains are designed for this.
Right.
And it's built into the, it's built into the operation manual for planet Earth.
Right.
So that lower consciousness seeks to pop into higher consciousness, and it happens spontaneously. That's why, it's about a critical mass. I mean, if we had, numbers greater enough, even though it's still a minority of people who are conscious of consciousness, it has immense power,
right,
that we have to have faith in, and it's, so it's the energy level that we're talking about, and again, I believe these two generations are asking the right questions. But, what is life about? What is the higher decisions in life? What makes us feel secure? How can we break through to our greater creativity? How if we give energy, there's kind of karmic design in the universe that we'll draw into our lives and journey people who come in at the right time to give to us. So it's amazing, I believe, how clear it is, and I see that clarity just popping up in points everywhere, especially in the helping community and counselors and coaches and psychologists. And it's already forming, and we just have to become conscious of it, I believe.
In your third insight, you write that we must create a new world view in a universe of dynamic energy. And you explain further by saying we must understand and live in alignment with the universe's karmic design. We begin to fulfill the latest discoveries of quantum physics, and as we open up to synchronicity and intuitive guidance, we realize that we, in fact, share minds with one another and the divine.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're contagious to each other. So if we're spewing anger, that's you know, people around us tend to jump in the anger with us. If we're spewing love and a wisdom and a faith of that we can progress on the planet, you know, that's what people pop into. So people think can be helpful. They can be doing the job of saving the world just by remembering to make sure that they're striving to stay in this love connection, this inspired connection, because that's what's contagious to other people, and that's where all the solutions are going to come from.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. And along with that, your fourth insight says that, quote, too often humans are cut off themselves from the greater source of energy and then feel weak and secure, and then the gain energy they tend to manipulate or force others to give us their attention and energy. But it's the universe is a cornucopia, isn't it? I mean, there's plenty of energy and resources and abundance for all. We don't need to be fighting and in competition with each other.
Well, that's right, because what that refers to is making connecting spiritually, with a spiritual consciousness within us.
Mm-hmm.
We can have images of that, and there's a lot of religions that supply those images. But really, what we have to do is find a spiritual consciousness that gives us this base of security, so that we don't have to steal energy from other people, and we don't seek power over other people.
Right.
Because there's plenty of energy to give it away. Nobody can steal it from us.
Right.
So we don't have to react to that. So it's one of the things I think we're learning, and we've got two new generations that are seeking questions, answers for this. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they're seeking, well, how do we stay out of power trips, power struggles, and how do I find my own spiritual connection that resolves all that insecurity?
Right.
And I think we're learning, from all this tradition of meditation that of the last years, where we've had, there are more people. If you Google meditation right now,
mm-hmm.
you get the phone book. There's everybody's
wow.
teaching it, everybody's
wow.
seeking it,
uh-huh.
and it's the key to find some peace in this world from which you can then take a breath in your life and let go of your coping devices and just open up to, as you pointed out, the guiding intuition
mm-hmm.
that will help us in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all get these little urges, and we mistake them for ordinary thoughts, so we don't really act on them.
Right.
But if we get clear about that, and then if we meditate, and I think what works best is a love based meditation where we don't only just seek mindfulness. Mindfulness and meditation is the most popular.
Sure.
But we're not just trying to calm our minds. We're trying to calm our emotions. And that's what brings in, if we're seeking a kind of love emotion, an agape love where it has no object, it's a state of love.
Sure.
So if we find that state of love and practice that,
mm-hmm.
what happens is it brings us our peace. It brings us our patience. We can suddenly become open to we can let go of the chatter, and we can find these intuitions. And what they do is start to guide us in life, because if we follow intuition, what happens? We discover that we're going into a place or a conversation or some kind of investigation that suddenly gives us information that we need for our own goals in life.
Sure.
And in other words, synchronicity, So it's all becoming clear,
mm-hmm.
Get into meditation, but seek not just peace and not just clear in the mind, but seek an emotion of love.
Right.
Practice that.
Right.
Because that is our true emotion. We're supposed to be feeling love all the time. And that way, if the negative emotions come up, they bounce off that love state that we're in, and they don't control us or knock us, knock us out of our journey so badly.
Right.
So, you know, that's a clarity about how we live a more spiritually connected, but also a more wise and creatively powerful life. And that's what it's all about.
Wow, amazing, amazing. You've been written about 12 insights, James. Do you think you'll be writing about the 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th insights?
Well, my college friends, you know, will say, well, you must be on the 100th insight by now. But the fact is, these insights are archetypal. They represent firings in the brain. Mm-hmm. You know, they activate these archetypal usage of all this brain power, consciousness power.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there are only 12. There are only 12. And the 12th one is to integrate it fully from the time that you wake up in the morning, integrate this insight,
sure,
and start to act on it. In fact, in the afterword to the new edition, I argue that we're moving from insight, something we talk about but have trouble living, to ability, the actual ability to, have a flow of synchronicity in our lives, you know, live this higher history of consciousness in our journey, get in harmony with the karmic design, which is giving.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a giver, you attract more givers into your life and more synchronicity in your life. If you're a taker, what do? You draw more takers into your life.
Right.
Now, there are people that have never not been a taker, and they just think, well, of course, people try to take all the time, but it's because, one's not in alignment with karmic design. If you're a real giver, now think about how you can be a synchronicity to some other person first before checking on what the message they have for you. That's giving. Looking out for other people's best interests, that's a giving. And the karmic response of that is to, you'll start to see more and more people showing up at just the right time to give you information or give you help. And it's amazing. That's the true design of human culture. We just haven't tried it very often, you know. But I think as we become conscious of our consciousness, the powers of consciousness, we see that the world's really designed for our dreams to come true. But we have to allow ourselves, we have to give, and we also in be giving and looking out after other people's interests in whatever we do. But if we do that, we find something that inspires us beyond belief, some place in the world where we're telling the truth that really matters.
Yeah.
And that's what I think we all secretly yearn for, and I think most of us can remember in our soul, you know, that this is why we came to this planet, why we came to participate in the consciousness of planet Earth. So one has to open up and break out of this materialistic view of the world. But when you do, you know, you really download your greater intelligence and your greatest creativity.
I thought your sentence a few minutes ago, James, where you said the world is designed for our dreams to come true, really beautiful and very profound too.
Yeah, it's just that we have to, you know, we aren't born with an operation manual. And in fact, Earth is, the human culture has never had an operation manual but we've been looking for it. When I say, you know, we've had 100 years of human potential research to help us now, we really are, in my view, putting together that operation manual. So this is the book I'm writing now. So, you know, I still believe, you know, again, I'm trying to describe what's already sort of starting to happen in consciousness and in the human culture. So I believe that all these abilities are finally, and it's with these two generations asking the questions, right?
Right.
Asking the questions of Xers and baby boomers and the older World War II generation. These kids are asking questions, and because they want, they sense there's something that they can move into in terms of consciousness and clarity about life.
Right.
And so it's an amazing time in my view, right?
Oh, absolutely. Well, you write in the eighth and ninth insights. They relate to each other. The eighth insight, of course, is uplifting others. This can be with children or romantic relationships, and then that feeds into the ninth insight fulfilling human destiny. And you write, if everyone were practicing this virtue of uplifting others, we would quickly accelerate the spiritual transformation of the world. And that's another beautiful comment.
Well, I think that's the case. You know, that's one of the things that, people are talking about just that out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, we need to get clearer about it. It is a vision of the future, mm-hmm. you know, but it's one we can create.
Right.
Because as sort of consciousness builds, you know, energy within our atoms vibrate at a different level. And of course, what happens is that we'll have an ascension. You know, a lot of people talk about it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We just are building a kind of unity around that clarity as we go.
Right.
But it's right now it's a matter. You know, our focus is, I believe, is on allowing ourselves to be guided in the proper work
right.
that we have out there that helps wake up more and more people. And helps everyone become conscious of consciousness and the power of consciousness.
Right, right.
Because that's next, in my view.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Well, this leads us to the tenth insight, which is holding the vision. And you write, we can remember a full birth vision of what we wanted to accomplish with our lives. And so we remember why we came here, and we know that our challenge is to hold this vision with intention and prayer every day. That's our life purpose, isn't it? The holding the
that's
vision.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I
think we're all working in some, you know, bringing truths together and seeking a unity about two things. We're seeking a unity that includes more and more cultures and people and. So there's more acceptance for larger and larger groups of cultures
right.
in the world,
mm-hmm.
and we're also moving toward an understanding of spirituality.
Right.
You know, a common understanding of the key experiences of our spiritual nature, so that we can awaken through those mechanisms and live our best life.
Right.
I don't even think it's very complicated. It's just a matter of people slowing down, starting to meditate, enlarge the higher self in right. meditation, open up, agape love as our true emotion and begin to hold on to that at all times,
mm-hmm.
And to be contagious to other people with that love. You know, sure. Love begets love.
Right.
And
right.
So it's you know, again, I guess what you and I are doing, talking about it in front of people, mm-hmm. is we're trying to open up a conversation and an awareness that consciousness matters.
Right.
And we're beginning to understand how to open up to our true spiritual consciousness,
mm-hmm.
and all that comes with it, you know, a guidance and a remembrance, as you say, our birth vision. Of our birth vision, because when we get inspired about something, it's because we realize, I came here intending for this to happen,
right?
Or to finally get into the right career path, find my truth to tell the people across my path, to achieve an attitude of helpfulness with others, so many of us intended. For these things to come into consciousness, and again, that's happening, in my belief.
No, right, absolutely. Well, this leads us to the 11th insight, where you talk about the prayer of prayer, which I assume also includes meditation, and you write, in this level of consciousness, we become more purpose-driven and receptive to those in the afterlife to those in the afterlife who are uplifting, lifting us up, which is just amazing. And you also realize that prayer works with karmic design.
Exactly. I mean, what happens is that, you know, the more consciousness you have, the more powerful you become.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's love-based, the more good, the more powerfully creative you are in bringing light to the world.
Right.
So, you know, prayer is a very interesting subject. It's actually been studied, researched a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Harvard did a couple of studies where they falsified the outcome and claimed that prayer had no reality. But that was part of the fake research out there. And the good research about prayer shows it absolutely makes a difference. And it relates to meditation because you're in that zone where you're actually have an influence just by being in that zone.
Sure.
There are a lot of studies out there where, you know, groups and cities meditate together in larger and larger groups, and they intend for that sort of power of consciousness to move into people everywhere, and, you know, crime goes down. Absolutely, it's been proved.
Wow.
So it works. All that works.
Wow.
Just waiting for enough of us to do it and believe in it.
Sure.
But the key thing about prayer is that it's not, it's not a plea. Prayer's not a plea, or at least let's say the most powerful prayer, and
mm-hmm.
that's one of the research findings.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer's not a plea. It's an affirmation. It's a declaration. A declaration,
mm-hmm.
in fact.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can just look at, let's just basic scriptures you can find about prayer, you know, just let's say the Lord's Prayer in the Bible, okay?
Right.
Now, think about the Lord's Prayer. It's not, please God, if you don't mind, give us our daily bread,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Right?
It's not a plea. It's a affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
Give us our daily bread. It's
sure.
an exertion of spiritual power that we have.
Right.
And the more conscious we are, the more we use it for good.
Mm-hmm.
So everything in the Lord's Prayer is all a declaration. Give us our daily bread.
Yeah. Right.
Forgive us our trespasses. Not please God if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's an exertion of faith power. Right. And that's what we have to see it as.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some people worry, well, if you talk like that, then people misuse prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, prayer, negative prayer doesn't work.
Right.
You know, it's faith. It's love based. Whatever mm-hmm. love connection you have can always be bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what makes your intention powerful. You know, it's the connection with, you know, the love matrix in,
mm-hmm.
in the world,
right.
in consciousness. So we have to learn to declare what we want in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're a giver, people will come into our lives to open up that path for us,
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
help solve that problem we have. Yeah, it's as simple as that.
In The Secret of Shambhala, you emphasize the value of eating consciously to uplift our vibration. And you talk about how we're in the dark ages of nutritional science, and that there's more and more processed foods, and if you eat beef and pork, that's a long ways from the original source of sunlight, the plants that these animals eat. And the further you get away from the light, the photosynthesis that turns light into energy, the less energy you have for yourself. I love your comments on that. James, you wrote quite a bit about that.
Well, that's what's proven to be expanding, right,
mm-hmm.
in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Although, you know, let's be accurate, really, about where we are in that. You know, the fact is, you know, natural health, holistic living
mm-hmm.
has just passed over 50% of the population has now tried alternative eating, alternative health,
really?
Energy medicine. Over half. Now, if you look at the pharmaceutical companies, I call them the mafia.
Right.
These people are just like the tobacco company. They falsify all their research. And people love their doctors and bless their hearts. But there is a nutraceutical for everything a drug will do.
Right.
With acute. If you have acute injuries and problems like that, there's a place for allopathic medicine, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But for the mass numbers of people out there, there is a plant solution. There's a nutraceutical, and I just always like to mention the Life Extension Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a foundation of doctors and researchers, and what they do is do the research to find alternative interventions for problems that we might have.
Mm-hmm.
And they're out there. And I always like to tell a story about my dad had high blood pressure. So a few years back, I realized that, one of my integrative physicians says, look, this is not high, but you've got to do something to lower.
Right.
This is you're going to have to get on a medication or something.
Right.
And I said, you know what? Let's see what the Life Extension Foundation says. Well, they had a group of nutraceuticals, plant extracts. One is pomegranate. Who would know?
Mm-hmm.
So extract of pomegranate and the amino acid. Blanked on what the amino acid is, but a common amino acid.
Mm-hmm.
I'll think of it in a minute. But it's a, just those two nutraceuticals that you can buy anywhere, at Whole Foods or through the Life Extension Foundation.
Uh-huh.
And I have the blood pressure of a 25-year-old now, right? From creeping up blood pressure to taking these two supplements, which is pomegranate and L-arginine is in those two, and there's more. If you need more help,
right?
But the key, of course, with all these nutraceuticals is that you do have to. We do know really what the human diet ought to be about, and I do have to say, I think the research is everybody can't be a vegetarian. Sorry about that.
Right.
It'd be great if they could.
Right.
But so you're going to have to take the native people attitude about if you're eating animal meats about that. And it has to be a reverent kind of partnership with the animals that benefit you. But are we going to evolve out of that? Maybe, yeah. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
mm-hmm.
so.
Mm-hmm.
Going forward, we would have to eat less meat, maybe. But some people do need it. But
sure.
There's so many breakthroughs out there. Mm-hmm. I know you know a lot about this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just important that people start to realize that the healthcare mafia out there is taking you down a path of sickness and ever more sickness.
Right.
And, sorry to break that news. Probably most of the people listening know that already.
Statistically, I've heard before, James, that the healthcare system's basically set up to not to cure diseases so much. This is mainstream health, but not to cure diseases, but just keep you just enough alive so they can siphon off about 60% of a person's assets are spent on healthcare 6 months before they pass on. That's the system set up for that. To cure, but just keep people barely alive through all these drugs and whatnot.
So that's right.
They keep.
And look,
going.
It's tough. Everybody. We all have these comfort foods, right?
That, right.
And a lot of the chemicals in foods, the way they're GMO'd, is to create a kind of yummy feeling in foods and taste in foods. It's glutamate. The glutamate receptors are the ones we're supposed to have when we're excited about life. We have natural glutamate receptors that fire up, that all the right hormones, and when we're having a, if we're having a spiritual experience, and like, oh my God, you know, peak experience, we used to call them, where, you know, that's what fires up our glutamate receptors. Right. Well, guess who? Yeah, one evil corporation decided, oh, we can make fake glutamate out of gel, kelp, seaweed. So that became the first glutamate, and that were used as additives to foods,
right,
so that the foods have the power to make our glutamate receptors fire up, so we get all this yummy consciousness feeling when we eat certain foods, typically the ones that are the worst for us.
Sure, right.
So that's the quagmire we have with these taste enhancers that are in everything. And the better tasting the upscale restaurant is, the more glutamate they use.
Interesting.
So, you know, it's better to try to replace there are natural glutamates out there. There are foods that, you know, that you can try to replace these super tasting foods with, and that's what everybody has to bite that bullet at some point if they want to live a healthy life.
Sure,
absolutely. A healthy life, disease free. And that's happening again. That we've turned the corner, so more and more people are trying to eat better than ever before.
I read in an interview in preparing for today, James, that you you said that humans are creative masters walking around with much more power than we believe we have. We limit ourselves to a great extent sometimes.
Well, I think that can be proven easily to oneself.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us, you know, this is a weird planet in a lot of ways, and we get criticized from the very beginning. So we have reaction patterns that help us defend ourselves, and it's those coping mechanisms, including eating, you know, McDonald's French fries, that help us cope with life.
Right.
But we are just kind of asleep until we realize that we can expand our spiritual connection in very easy ways. We talk about this in the workshops we do on the Celestine Prophecy Tour right now. But it's easy. It takes dedication. But who doesn't want to open up to their best creativity to find their peace? You know, get rid of all these emotional flams they get periodically. I mean, all that can be transcended.
Sure.
I mean, we know how to do it, and it's something that I talk openly about, just a matter of changing our reaction patterns from the time that we wake up in the morning.
Right.
And it just takes a little while till we can become someone who's expanding in consciousness, tuning into the amazing, mysterious coincidences that seem to be taking them on a journey to service somewhere, and listening to our intuitive guidance that makes that go faster, and uplifting people, staying out of control dramas, life opens up.
Mm-hmm.
And the amazing thing is we get premonitions.
Right.
And if we're givers, we're going to be attracting givers.
That's true.
And if there's ever a negative situation approaching us, we get made aware of that.
Right. Right.
That, you know, all we have to do is train ourselves to really listen to our intuitive guidance. And that, again, we know how to do it. We know how one can prove to themselves that absolutely they have this ability.
Absolutely. Well, what beautiful advice, James. Thank you so much. We've got about 5.5 minutes left, and I wanted to ask you, you're coming up here, aren't you, on July 27th to Portland, Oregon?
Yes. Sure are.
Okay, could you I'd love to go, and where do I get tickets and dates and times and everything? Yeah.
Here's what you do. You can just Google James Redfield Tour, it'll come up, or Celestine Prophecy Tour, anything like that, and you'll get our tour landing site.
Okay.
And then you can it'll take you to all the cities that we're going to be in this year.
All right.
And beyond. Okay. And we'd love to encourage everyone who really feels like it's time to break out of what's holding them back. Talk about these new abilities we have to live the greatest life possible. And so we're having a lot of fun with it. And, again, it's easy to look up, and you can buy tickets on that site.
Okay. Okay, wonderful, wonderful. James, we've got about 4 minutes left, and I wanted to tell you that so that you're welcome to cover any other topics that you feel like you'd like to cover, emphasize at the end of your interview here, wrap up your beautiful interview. So,
well, I would just like to go back to politics for just a minute. And, you know, there's a lot of fakeness everywhere.
Right.
You know, I believe that there's, you know, the materialistic, mostly corporate powers out there, you know, really want to create this. It's a kind of fascist, corporate-oriented world.
Uh-huh. Right.
Very materialistic, mm-hmm. very patronizing. If you look at a lot of countries around the world, they've already been really had their creative rights removed.
Right.
In my view, both left and right are now controlled by these corporate interests. Mm-hmm. And again, I just want to reinforce the idea that what works with this is truth telling and taking, you know, finding whistleblowers that we can support and
right.
revealing, you know, lovingly, I'll say that, lovingly reveal the errors that are happening out there and the corruptions that are happening out there because they believe nobody cares.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
I think a wave of whistleblowing is important, but also finding a way, you know, what I would recommend, what I do, is I vote for the individuals
mm-hmm.
that will try to stop this surveillance, this sort of international surveillance techno-atheist mind
mm-hmm.
from surveilling everybody and controlling everything that we do.
Right.
And, you know, what we need is creative freedom at the grassroots level to solve these problems, and people
mm-hmm.
getting together in various groups. If you hear yourself being promised that, if you'll just give us all the power, we'll save the world, you can believe it's fake.
Right.
I mean, you can know that they're not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
What they're going to do is create this worldwide network of surveillance and rigid control of everybody. Right now is when we have to support the forces that are will keep us free at least long enough to get past all this this sort of technical fascism that's happening right now.
Well, I think we have a very beautiful and very bright future ahead of us, James. I wrote a book a couple of years ago with channeled messages from Albert Einstein, President Kennedy, Nostradamus, and they all said that the timelines had changed, that we weren't not going to have a World War III or Armageddon, but we were going to instead have a beautiful, bright future for ourselves and our children and children's children. And they wanted me to tell you now, they're all here, to thank you for your beautiful work because you've helped turn the tide on making humanity and this planet wake up and shifting us into these higher dimensions. So on behalf of all the great spirits of history, they want to thank you for your beautiful work, James.
Well, I appreciate that, and I would just say that I agree with that totally. I think if we all step into action and step into a higher loving consciousness, we will be able to resolve all the issues that planet Earth has and move forward with an amazing, amazing world, creative world.
Wonderful, wonderful, James. Well, if I can, I'd love to send you a copy of my book. I can get your address later. But I wanted to ask, thank you so much for coming on today. You've been a real inspiration for all of my listeners worldwide. Thank you so much, James.